The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. Hope you had a good bank holiday weekend. Nice and relaxed. Ready for the run up to TT, yeah? So text, call, email and WhatsApp, whatever's on your mind. And I must say, before we go any further, congratulations. Congratulations to Neil Taverner, who saw the Cleveland Medal, the prize given to the Guild's top solo vocalist, to Neil Taverner. So congratulations. And if you were involved in the Guild over the past week, well, you're probably in a darkened room now, just coping with it all. It's a heavy, heavy schedule. And thanks to everybody who was involved in getting the Guild together. And I don't know whether you've checked out our YouTube channel, absolutely stuffed full of Guild videos and interviews. And well done to Judith Leigh and Chris Quirk, who were taking up I think they both slept at the Villa Marina last week. So congratulations, Neil. You may have heard that story in the news. John Wannenberg, the Douglas North MHK, says at best negligence, at worst a dereliction of duty, breathtakingly incompetent. Accounting errors that have led to almost £500,000 worth of overpayments to public sector workers in the last 2 years. Between January 2022 and December last year, just over £470,000 in overpayments were made. In the same period, £1.1 million in underpayments. Mr. Wannenberg questioned the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord-Brennan, on the issue in Keys this morning.
In the last year, we've had over 250 people allegedly added to the headcount. And now we hear of systemic overpayment. The public purse is vulnerable. And it is my opinion that at best, this is negligence. At worst, this is a dereliction of duty. Either way, it is breathtakingly incompetent. Will the Minister agree with those comments?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to agree with those comments. I think that government headcount does need to be considered. I think that accounting officers within departments, those within statutory boards, absolutely should be considering every new job that is created. But I think in further analysis of jobs that have been filled over the past couple of years, a lot of those were stand to be in healthcare and education, actually, and they're in some areas where people, you know, want and need services to be required. I do, you know, think that where there are errors and issues, they need to be corrected and handled at the earliest stage. And where there are those things brought forward, the point is they should be handled and raised with the relevant accounting officer. Those officers, they have responsibilities as part of their jobs. That's not my role as Cabinet Office Minister. And actually, if people are not getting assistance via those routes, then there are routes via the Office of Human Resources. And indeed, the Honourable Questioner will be aware that a meeting has been raised for this particular, for certainly one of the constituent queries that he has had on this. These matters should be resolved, but also the responsibilities need to be viewed and carried out at the right levels. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That was this morning in Keys. I just wonder what your thoughts are where that's concerned, whether you err on the side of Mr. Wannenberg or you heard what Kate Lord-Brennan had to say. But it is £470,000 in overpayments were made, £1.1 million in underpayments from January 2022 to December 2023. Any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp, and also the hospitality sector. I don't know whether you were out and about over the weekend or you stayed at home, but if you're out and about, if you went to any restaurant, cafe, bar, coffee bar, whatever you went to, did you chat to the owners and just ask them how their business was going? DfE, the Department for Enterprise, insists that they're listening following talks with business as the hospitality sector's continuing to call for support from government following meetings. Couple now, Port St Mary restaurant, which recently announced it's going to be cutting its opening hours in a bid to survive, is among those urging government to consider VAT changes to the industry. This is the Boathouse who are involved in this. The business says that quiet winter, cost of wages made paying its VAT bill pretty much impossible, and it's calling for more to be done to support the sector. Have you been in the Boathouse in Port St Mary? What do you think? It's been many businesses over the year, hasn't it, the Boathouse? So we get just any thoughts regarding that. I just want to put something towards you, by the way, just to consider, because this Friday, the 10th of May, is the closing date for your view to be made on aspects of the education system, including catchment areas, additional educational needs, and use of mobile phones. Remember, the minister is Daphne Kane MHK, the GARF MHK. There's a consultation on the consultation hub, and it runs until the 10th of May. You can also make a paper copy. You just get the paper copy from the DESC policy hub on 685808. Now, the topic's covered in the consultation, and if you've got someone who's in education, there may be concerns you. Additional educational needs, routes of appeal, the emergency closure of schools, religious education in schools, governing bodies, home education, admission and catchment areas, and the use of mobile phones. Now, we've heard much over the past few weeks about the possible banning of mobile phones in schools. But if you have anything to say, it's important that your view is heard. And it closes this coming Friday, the 10th of May. So you can go to, if you go to gov.im, there's a DESC policy hub there, which you can click on and click through. Or if you want a paper copy, quick sharp, give them a call on 685808. And you can either pick one up from it's at Slowallian on St John's, or they'll probably stick one in the post to you, 685808. But that education amendment bill, public consultation, ends this Friday, the 10th of May. So if you've got a thought on that, it's important that it is in before this coming Friday. Almost a quarter past 12. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I think summer's here.
It's nice today, isn't it? I'm sure the people on the cruise liner beneath us are having a good time.
Yeah, they'll be diving in and swimming up to the prom, I'm sure. Something about the House of Keys to do with members' question time last week. But first, do you remember the TV series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, yeah, the Douglas Adams thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And in it, there was an ancient supercomputer called Deep Thought that took 7.5 million years to come up with the answer to what is life, the universe, and everything. And it finally gave the answer 42. And I was reminded of the number 42 when a question was raised by Jason Morehouse in last week's Keys Question Time about when the proposed Erie Stain wind turbines would be turned off. To which John Wannenberg replied, and I quote, "Be turned off for protection in extreme weather conditions. An example would be where wind speeds exceed 42 meters per second, which is about 94 miles an hour. But this statement gave me pause for some deep thought as well, as all onshore wind turbines, they turn off their electrical generation, which is known as the cutout speed, at 56 miles an hour or 25 meters per second.
Yeah.
That's to give the wind turbine time to brake and slow down before it goes too fast. A bit like if you drive into a cul-de-sac, you want to be on the brakes before you get to, you know, to hit the wall. So this cutout speed is to stop it from self-destruction. And that is known in the trade as the survival speed. And interestingly, the survival speed is between 40 and 72 meters per second. So when Mr. Wannenberg is saying 42 meters per second, that, I think, is referring to the 68% much higher wind speed. So it begs the question, You know, I've been questioning the amount of power and therefore the sales pitch for these wind turbines. Is the model that they're using, is it being based in the reality of what all the other wind turbine manufacturers are saying at 25 meters a second wind? Or is he talking about the fact that it's going to be at almost 100 mile an hour wind, which seems a bit crazy?
The thing is, I mean, we don't quite know what the, and we never get a definitive answer on how efficient it is and how much electricity is going to be generated. But then again, we never got an official word from the power stations. You know, we don't quite know how efficient the power stations are, because obviously, certainly with some power stations, we didn't know what the problems were for years later. I mean, things like, you know, coal-fired power stations, they all coal-fired ones were very polluting, and we're picking up the, you know, the tab from that from years on. So I just wonder whether, I mean, what could the MUA say to calm your fears, Julian?
Well, you see, when you look at a graph of what they're talking about, it if you put it in the context of, say, football goalposts, right? So you've got your two football goalposts, which are 24 feet apart, and then you've got a crossbar across the top. And the left post, if you imagine, that's when the wind starts to turn the wind turbine. And then on the right side, you've got the point, the cutout speed, where it turns off, because it's going to blow up if it goes much faster, which is why it needs to back off. But if you move that right-hand goalpost 16 feet to the right, so you've got a much wider goalpost, the top bar, which is measuring the energy, is going to be showing a lot more than it's actually going to turn out to be, isn't it? If you see what I mean. You're kind of moving the goalpost on the right, 68% to the right. So if we've got a sales pitch telling us that these things are going to produce huge amounts of energy more than anywhere else in the world, I'm just wondering if the survival speed, which is the bit where you shift the goalpost all the way over to the right, is being juxtaposed with the actual reality of the normal speed that they would be shutting down at, because you'll be getting the benefit of all that extra gusty wind. You know, you can imagine how windy it is up on the top there at Puff the Wind when it's stormy. But you can't include that crazy amount of wind because the thing will be turning itself off, just like all the others. All you got to do is go to Vestas.com, the largest wind manufacturer in the world, look at their 4 megawatt onshore, or any of their onshore turbines, even the big ones. All of them turn off at no more than 25 meters per second. So where is this 42 coming from? Because the question should be, when will these wind turbines cut out? Because that's what you want to know, because you won't have any power at that point.
So there's a difference between turning off the electricity generating bit and effectively feathering the blades. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the blades are feathered, and there's a braking system applied well before it gets to its self-destruction point,
right,
which is known as the survival speed. But the speed that John Wannenberg was talking about is typical of the industry standard for survival speed. But that gives you the idea that all that energy will be generated up to that point. But if the switch is flipped at 25 and then they're hitting the brakes, you won't get that extra. But if the model is being, if somebody's on a keyboard sticking 42 in instead of 25, you're going to get a crazy amount of what we call capacity factor.
Okay. All right. So, well, hopefully, hopefully we're going to be talking to the MUA and Wardell Armstrong before long, so something we can put to them. All right. Thanks, Julian.
Sorry to be complicated with that. By the way, one very quick thing before I finish. If you remember, the original price for that wind farm was about 24 million.
Yes.
But they said that they would need 12 million extra to put it at Derby Haven. Well, now that they've announced that they're not going to do Derby Haven, are we going to see a £12 million reduction in the estimate?
I wonder. Okay. All right. Thanks, Julian. Right.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Cheers now from the phones.
Hi. I was unfortunate enough to sail on the crossing on the 15th of April from Liverpool to Isle of Man. It was an horrendous crossing, 4 scale 8. And the captain told us repeatedly not to walk around the ship. When I got back to the car deck, my car had been damaged. The staff took particulars of it, they took a photograph of it, and they told me to contact my insurance company, who would then contact their insurance company and take it up. My insurance company is taking it up, and unfortunately, the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company say they are not responsible. I find this astounding due to the conditions that we sailed in and the amount of cars that was damaged on that voyage, and now I am having to foot the bill. I find this disgusting. Okay, bye.
Were you on that sailing? Did you have a vehicle that was damaged on the 15th of April? I just wonder how your insurance claim is progressing. Who said what to whom? And whether or not that gentleman's experience is common to all or just an exception. Any reports on that? The 15th of April sailing, you know, the extremely bouncy sailing that there was when there was some movement and vehicles bashed into each other. Get in touch. Text, email, call, WhatsApp, or if you just want to send something out of ours, maninline@manxradio.com. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing? You all right, Andy?
Good, thanks. Yeah, fine.
Just listening to June about the proposed wind farm.
Yeah.
And totally agree with him about the exaggerations from Wannenberg or whatever, Spielmore. I keep telling you, you know, everybody, it's just Spiel. They are a big company. They're trying to sell the damn thing. But I don't know whether you've noticed, Andy, over the last few days, before I go any further, the people at Ronig and Eric Dane are not daft. We do our own monitoring, right? And I'm not telling you whether we've got any machines that are monitoring the wind or not. But have you noticed over the last 4 days we've had none?
Not much.
And also, the forecast is for not much for the rest of the week. So, my thinking is this. We're still going down this stupid road when we're going to have a backup without any, you know, any doubt. And if the 100 turbines that they're talking about cost us $1.5 billion, then we've got maintenance on top of that. Then we've got some form of backup.
Whose 100 turbines?
Pardon?
Which 100 turbines?
Well, initially, at the very beginning of all this talk about wind farms, the MUA actually stated that to be self-sufficient, we would need between 100 and 110. That was their words, not mine.
I thought, well, how many are they proposing for Eyre Stain?
Five, but that's only just a little trial, isn't it? That won't produce much electricity for the Isle of Man. We need 100, according to them, we need 110 to be self-sufficient. But that doesn't take in when there's no wind and when there's too much. So, just a perfect example, and this happens, I think it was somewhere in Scotland. They had no wind. They had a low for, I think it was 8 days. And they had to run them, some of them. Some of them have been designed that you can run them on diesel. So it's a bit defeating the object, isn't it?
A diesel-powered wind turbine?
Yeah, well, they've got a diesel motor to start it going anyway.
Oh, right.
Right? So what they have to do then is actually keep it going if there's no electricity getting, you know, because Scotland sell it to Britain, if you remember.
Scotland also does have the backup of hydroelectric.
Of course they do, yeah. But if they're down on the wind farm side of it, and they need extra, they then have to run these things on diesel, which has happened on a few occasions, I believe. But the point is this: the Isle of Man is talking about going into these. Now, if they go ahead with what the MUA suggested, 100 of them. We're talking £1.5 billion just for getting them up. Then you've got the maintenance on them, and like one of the North Sea ones, after 6 years, they have to renew all the blades. Nobody can dictate that. I'm not even suggesting it might be that. I'm just saying there's a possibility of. Why are we still going down this stupid road?
I'm guessing we're not ever going to have 100 wind turbines on the island.
Well, I know we're not going to get 100 turbines on. Let's put it that way. As far as I'm concerned, I might go to jail before I see one of these damn things up.
So, what about the proposal for the offshore wind farm that Ørsted are talking about? Do you think that's a good idea?
Andy, the way, like I stated on numerous occasions. For the last 2 years, I never knew anything about wind farms. The more I read, the wind farms throughout the world, whether they be at sea or on land, are becoming a failure. People are going away from them in every single country throughout the world.
But there's still, there's still hundreds, thousands of the darn things in Europe.
And there's still hundreds and thousands of them lying in the deserts in America, right? America had, at one time, they had more than Europe, right? But now they're just lying there in deserts, in dumps, and they're now, there's legal battles about who's got to dispose of them. Are we going to go down this same street? Because you know the people of Ronag are going to fight this, even in the courts, and we'll use the precedent of France, and we'll have them taken down again.
All right.
So you're only ever going to get five, and then five will cost a fortune, and it will cost a fortune to take them back down again.
All right,
so
Eric.
Taxpayers' money.
Appreciate
no
that. Thanks for calling today.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Natch. 27 minutes past 12. No need, this is Ian dropped a WhatsApp in, no need to concern ourselves with a sister dying bill. If NATO keep prodding Russia via Ukraine, Mr. Putin will assist us all with a nuclear missile. Well, thanks for brightening everything up, Ian. Appreciate that. It's in the terms and conditions, says Andrew, terms and conditions of the steam packet travel, that they do not cover damage to vehicles that are on board vessels. They can't help the weather. Also, it would have been other people not having handbrakes on properly. I was due to travel on the 15th of April with my vehicle from Liverpool, but changed to the Manxman from Heysham instead when I saw the forecast. So check the terms and conditions. Steam Pack is not liable for damage to vehicles when they're on board vessels. It's down to you. When I was on that sailing, but luckily my car was undamaged. However, one of the hotel residents had exactly the same experience as that other chap. Thank you for that. Thanks for that message, Michael. Good to hear from you. And more messages in concerning the changes of accountancy, the underpayments and the overpayments. Many messages in this, most of which I can't read out because they're defamatory, but lots of people wondering why on earth this is happening. Simon said, but also just regarding Eddie who called, when Eddie built his house, there were locals who weren't happy to get it built because obviously, he built a house. So really, if something else is being built, isn't that just the same sort of precedent? Just my opinion, says Simon. Thank you, Simon. Also in, we're having the second interconnector for backup. I hope you haven't forgotten that, says 134. No, yeah, I agree. We've heard about the second interconnector. In fact, Lizzie Riley, when she was on, Lizzie's one of the project managers for this from Manx Utilities, said there isn't going to be a second interconnector, and it's going to be on the from the northwest of England to the northeast of the Isle of Man. But you don't just get an interconnector off the shelf. You can't just go to B&Q and buy one. This has to be ordered and planned. And it doesn't take, I don't know whether you remember when the other one was in, that Jules Verne cable laying ship that did it, brought it in literally just below us at Port Skillion. It took a long time to get it done. We can't really get a second interconnector. Now, bear in mind, these things are supposed to be up by the next election, September 26. And we're now May 2024. Oh, Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, I see we're starting the week with the usual sort of traditional 25 minutes of misinformation, misinterpretation, misrepresentation of anything to do with renewables and the proposed wind farm in particular. Yes, Eddie, with his rather confused, I think, memory of various other things.
You're not doubting his sincerity, though, are you?
Yes, there are comments one can make about sincerity. I think there's a famous quotation from W.C. Fields about that. But in case of, the MUA wanted to spend £1 billion on 120 wind t- turbines, and it would be 120 wind turbines that they said would be needed to generate the capacity of the Isle of Man. They might have said that in 1994, which is the first time that Tyndall discussed wind power, 30 blooming years ago. But not now. We're talking about 5 4-megawatt turbines, right, which are pretty much bog standard onshore wind turbines. Now, when it comes to Julian's, again, sort of vast misrepresentation, and which he's been on it with social media all weekend, the question of wind speeds. Oh yes, I was going to say Julian's obsession with Hitchhiker's Guide and 42. He very conveniently didn't mention the fact that when that answer came up, the next question was, well, what was the question? So they had to build a bigger computer, which was the Earth, which then found out the ultimate question, which was what's the what's the ultimate question? What's 9 times 6, which is 54. There was always something fundamentally wrong with the universe, like Julian's thinking. But, you know, I digress. The wind speed that John Wallenborough, I think, was meaning to talk about was something called V3S. And that is the speed which it can which a turbine can take for a maximum 3-second gust. Because, of course, we have gusty winds. And that's so that the systems within the rotor and the hub can actually respond. No, so it can alter its pitch and such. And that is, you know, up to, what is it, 42 metres a second, you know, it's 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which you'd expect. So the idea that also that is, you know, it's absolute failure speed, you know, and the blades will snap off. Of course it isn't. And anything after that, they then to turn the turbine out of wind. So I think most of the power estimates will be within the usual range, because of course the requirement is for 20 megawatts. They don't want to actually generate more than that because of the, how that then goes into capacity in the grid.
Why do you think some people are doubtful about this? Some people doubt whether it's going to work. Some people doubt whether it's going to actually get built. And, you know, lots of people... Is it the government's fault for not issuing unequivocal, incontrovertible evidence and fact about all this? Why do you think some people still think this is a bad idea?
Because they are ideologically against anything that smacks of climate action. Well, there are some of those, and there are also some of those who I think we have to think are looking for compensation payments from MUA, and objections and concerns for the environment and wildlife would evaporate away, you know, if the right number was written on the check. So again, that's nonsense. But it is just simple NIMBYism. I was amused actually to hear that, of course, Eddie had been on the receiving end of NIMBYism, and so having managed somehow to win out, he's now decided to defect and join them. hypocrisy or what. I just want to come on to the issue of these overpayments and underpayments to government staff.
Yeah.
Well, and note how John Wallenborough used the phrase, you know, there have been 250 people allegedly added to the government headcount this year. I note his use of the word allegedly. Now, I dare say you've heard of, I think this was a particular problem in Spain. The problem of ghost employees?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, whether this is the case here, I think we need to immediately investigate. And I found Kate Lord Brennan's Everyone Else is to Blame Except Me defence pretty thin. So I think there is cause for concern, and I think that cause for concern has to be addressed very, very quickly.
Okay. All right. Bonzo, thanks for calling.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Good to hear from you. And I just want to remind you, this weekend is very big for surgeries, political surgeries in Ramsey, Arbury Castle, Town of Maloo, Garth and Douglas Central. There are political surgeries. But let's go to Betty, first of all. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I just want to say that I'm sick of listening to arrogant Bonzo denigrating anybody who disagrees with him. I don't know terribly about all these things, but I'm quite willing to listen to Julian and Duan, and they do research things and they do look things up. And I just hate the way Bonzo goes on as if he's a big know-all about everything.
Well, everybody's got an opinion, Betty. I mean, it's... I wouldn't... There's nothing malevolent in Bonzo.
I don't know about that. He just says awful things about Julian and Julian, and that's what I don't like.
Oh, OK. All right. Well, well, in that case, children, we're all going to play nicely. Is that OK?
Thank you, Andrew.
Good to hear from you. 22 minutes before one. Yes, this Saturday... political surgeries. Ramsey Town Hall, upstairs at the coroner's office from 10 to midday. Alex Allenson and Laurie Hooper will be in session if you want to see the two ministers there. And, of course, Ramsey MHKs. Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo at Abbey Church Hall, Bridge Road in Ballasalla from 10 to 11.30. Jason Morehouse and Tim Glover will be there. From 11 o'clock in Garth at the Garth Commissioner's Office in New Road, Laxey, 11 till gone midday. Daphne Kane, MHK, is going to be there. And I think also this Saturday, I think the Garth Commissioner, Julie Pinson's going to be there as well. And then finally in Douglas from 2 till 4, it's the third Saturday, so we're going to be, let me see, Douglas Central Constituency, Ann Corlett and Chris Thomas at All Saints Church Hall, Alexander Drive, from 2 till 4. They'll be happy to see you. So lots and lots of political surgeries this weekend. If you want to pop along to chat to MHKs, they'd be more than happy to see you. And of course, most of them also are available to contact out of hours at any time. In fact, Daphne Kane is certainly always willing to talk. Daphne, lots of Garth constituents are telling me Daphne takes calls at all hours of day or night and still appears patient. So you can see her this coming Saturday from 11 till gone midday. I think she's also out and about later on. She's attending the Manx Youth Games. I think she's attending the opening of the Manx Youth Games at the NSC. Of course, she's now Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, so that's her job. Right, text, email, call and WhatsApp. Man in Line continues. Just Care Products for
mobility solutions. At Just Care Products, we have a range of Rise, Recline and Fireside chairs to try. These are British made and perfect for people with mobility issues. With finance available through our partner, Conister, come take a seat at Just Care Products. Find us behind B&Q, or for more information, give us a call on 627 177.
Spring, a time for new beginnings and nature. This season, why not have a fresh start by switching your savings to Guernsey's Bank Skipton International and watch them grow? Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to bloom for longer. So, make this spring one to remember by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Discover the thrill and passion of motorcycle racing on the Isle of Man with the Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
Such an unbelievable thing to do, to get the chance to ride around the mountain course and they close the roads for you and encourage you to go as fast as you can. The best thing you could ever have.
Here, motorcycle racers share the highs and lows of racing on the legendary mountain course, get an inside look at their motivation, their challenges, and uncover the dream that drives them.
The minute you let that clutch go, your head goes into the zone it needs to be in, and that's going to be the best experience of my life.
Don't miss out. Find the Journey to a Dream podcast on motorsport.manxradio.com or your favourite podcast provider.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Can't believe it, you know, 3 weeks this Friday, it's going to be half term, but 2 weeks this Friday, it'll be pre-TT at Balaun. Practice day is Friday, 24th of May. Pre-TT, which means TT starts 2 weeks next Monday, which is Bank Holiday Monday, the 27th. TT will be underway, and of course Radio TT will be doing its stuff on AM 1368 and on DAB and what have you. Can somebody Sarah dropped a note in. Thank you, Sarah. Could somebody translate Kate Lord Brennan's answer to the question in Keys this morning? I couldn't make any sense of it. And David said, yesterday, the bank holiday, everybody was busy gardening and what have you and cleaning out. And were all the amenity sites shut, or was it just the southern one? Well, the amenity sites closed yesterday. Governments raised taxes, rates, bus fares. While not happy to pay more, I understand costs have risen, but I'm angry to learn that government's done nothing to save money by taking on an extra 250 staff, says G. And Juwan's on now. Hi, Juwan.
Yes, yes, the normal 7 minutes of claptrap from Bonzo to start the week, you know. How now, are you, Andy? How was your
children? We have to weekend? Children play nicely, please.
I know. Yes, I'm gonna Betty. I'm coming round with you 20 quid later. She's a good girl, isn't okay. she? How was your weekend, Andy?
It was very well. I was on. I did the breakfast show yesterday morning. I'm worn out.
Oh yeah. Oh, get a bacon sandwich.
I didn't know there was another 7 o'clock.
I'm just going on to what Bonzai was saying. Sorry, Bonzo, I'm thinking of the new restaurant that was opening. You know, the trouble with the swing of the pendulum is some of these guys don't want to listen to anything but their own. They any other agenda at all, they don't want to listen to. Not interested in. I believe my name was mentioned last week again, and I think Betty's right. You know, some people have just got a little bit of arrogance, and I like to, you know, meet people in the middle. Don't believe what I say. Just go and study it. I think people like myself and Julian just open up things for people to go and look at that maybe they haven't got the time to study themselves. You know, if Bonzo was that worried, he should have went to the Climate Cafe last week at the Gaia, where emotional support was given for people with concerns over climate change. So perhaps he might have gone down there and got some emotional support, you know. I say, don't believe what I say, don't believe what Julian says, but going back to a comment that you made there before about wind turbines on the island, and you made a comment to Eddie, and I just want to bring this up to you, Andy, and this is a person you've had on your programme.
Yeah.
And I think we're going back 2 years now that I mentioned this. I've mentioned it a couple of times on your programme. John Curtis, Energy View video.
Oh, yeah, John, Net Zero Matrix.
59 wind turbines dotted from North Barul to Sulby to Agnish on his website. I mentioned this on your programme. Andrew Langham-Newton, another person who's been on your programme, said 100 down the west side of the island to Sandygate. Not my words, someone else's. So when Eddie brings this stuff up, it has been brought up on your programme before by other people.
Yeah.
So, just in fairness, when people come off and slag us people off for bringing this up, then this stuff has been mentioned and it's on websites.
Which is why it would be nice if the government came out with something incontrovertible, just saying, look, this is what we're planning, this is going to be the maximum, this is how it's going to happen, this is how much it's going to cost, and if it works, you know, this is what it's going to do for us. But at the moment, I admit, you know, lots of people, as you say, lots of people have different agendas, many people have different opinions, some people have very firm opinions, and as you say, some people simply don't want to engage with the other side on both sides.
Absolutely, and the pendulum's got to stop in the middle somewhere, because, I mean, if this goes wrong, and like we said before, if it goes wrong, we've got no money to back it up.
And that's the key, Dewin, is that this is our money, and just like, and at the back of all this, when people are saying that, you know, the DOI may be involved in all this, then people think of Douglas Promenade and Liverpool Landing Stage.
If Julian's figures are right, and the guy studies an awful lot. If Julian's figures are right, the MUA should come on quite clearly and categorically put the situation right. I would love to see Lizzie Riley stand on a stage and have someone like Julian and other people on the other side and hammer it out and let the public come in for nothing and make their own mind up. Because if this is a sales pitch, and if John Wannenberg has got these figures wrong, or he's been fed misinformation by people, then it really needs to be out in the open. I look at a lot of the stuff, as Bonsai said there, about the websites, about stuff going on. You've got Sustain Isle of Man on every single chance that he can to push the climate agenda. And the man's got a dog in the race. Yeah, and that's the thing. If people have got a dog in the race, there's money to be made out of it and following the money trail. Let's just have a balanced view on it. I mean, when someone comes out with, wow, fantastic, better than we even thought when these figures were released from John Wannenberger, well, let's see if these figures are actually right. If Julian was right in his figures, then they're not. So let's get it on the table and see what's factual here.
There are various people on various sides who have got a pecuniary interest in this, you know, and let's face it, with anything to do with power generation, there's big money to be made if you're in the industry. But Dewin, we're in the middle. The consumer, the ordinary person who flicks their microwave on at night or switches the kettle on or their television or their electric lawnmower, we're stuck in the middle.
Absolutely. We're all stuck in the middle, and that's the thing. We're all stuck in the middle of this. And this thing has been given a lot more legs since these proxy wars that's going on, a lot more legs. And I'm sure that the war out far is nothing to do with the massive gas field that's just been found under the Gaza Strip. I'm sure that's got nothing to do with that either. So there's always corruption. And when people talk about the corruption of the oil industry, I 100% agree about the corruption of the oil industry. But let's now follow the people who are doing all this here, electric energy. It's the same people. Nothing's changed. it's the same snake with two heads. There's nothing changed. But you just on a touch there of the education amendment bill that you were talking about, Andy.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say to people, we're in an age of tacit agreement, I think, that if you don't say anything, governments around the world and here as well will assume that you agree with them. And I think we're at that stage now where people need to step up to the mark. If you don't like what's going on, voice your opinion, go to meetings, voice your opinion and say something, because they will do tacit agreement and they will carry on because no one has put any complaints in at all. Put your complaints in, stand up and say your piece, because if you look at the elections that's just happening and you look at some of the footage that I've seen this week over in England, we're in worrying times.
Okay.
Let's keep the island safe and let's keep our own community going.
Thanks, Dewin. Good to hear from you.
Andy.
All right, it's 10 to 1 now, and that's a point well worth repeating. And that is, if I mentioned that education consultation closes on Friday, if you don't say something, if you're interested in it and you don't say something, first of all, there may be somebody with a contrary opinion to yours, and they'll only hear that opinion and not your opinion. And it may be, as Juan said, the government may have a predisposed opinion to something. And unless they hear something to the contrary, they'll never know. So you really do need to say something. I've got to take my hat off, by the way, to the Liberal Vanim Party. So well done to Paul Weatherall and Laurie Hooper, who have invited Dane Harrop, the Managing Director of the Manx Development Corporation, to a public meeting to discuss how the Manx Development Corporation is meeting the government's remit to develop brownfield sites on the Isle of Man. Now, the meeting's going to be at the Legion on Monday, May the 20th. So it's the week before TT, that's Monday, May the 20th, a week next Monday at the Manx Legion, 7:30. Dane Harrop will be there to talk about what's going to happen. He's going to give an update on the former nurses' home site in Westmorland Road, the wider Westmorland and Village project, together with thoughts on the importance of brownfield regeneration. And then there'll be a question and answer session. So that's the Liberal Vanim Party public meeting a week on Monday with Dane Harrop, the Managing Director of the Manx Development Corporation. So you can guarantee there'll be a Manx radio microphone there in the audience somewhere to find out more. This coming Thursday, important at Manningline, we're out and about in Castletown. At the George Hotel, we'll be there. But the important thing is next Monday, the 13th, is the Mental Health Awareness Week. So we're, if you like, preempting that to talk to various mental health professionals about mental health in general. Now it's been said, you've heard me say it, there used to be a negative connotation about the word mental. It used to be an insult sometimes, do you remember? So-and-so's mental. Now times have changed, and we're encouraged to think about our mental health and other people's mental health a lot more than we used to be. It used to be couched in different terms in days gone by. People were said to be, you know, a bit down, a bit blue, got the blues, a bit brassed off. Now we know a lot more about it, and we'll find out more about this on Thursday. And I'd like to have a listen on Thursday, just to say to listen to what you what's being said about mental health on the Isle of Man. Talking about everybody, really: young people, school children, older people, the very old, people who are working. The risk of suicide is ever present. So we want to get to the bottom of this. That's this coming Thursday. Our mental health going to be live in Castletown. Next Monday, Alex Allenson's on Manx Radio on Man in Line. The Treasury Minister will be finding out just how much money we've got. And then a week on Thursday, we'll be live with the students of King William's College just to hear what they have to say. More comments and questions coming in. Mental Health Week. We need mental wealth. Years ago, we got it. We got on with it. If I've been treated so badly that this is no good, we need people to... Sorry, can't hear about that. That's not making any sense to me, 982. Yesterday's bank holiday, again, everybody busy. With the amenity sites, well, apparently the one in Peel wasn't open. It's worth noting, says G, by the way, that gas and oil exploration is happening in 48 out of 55 countries. Something we don't hear a lot of is that fossil fuel exploration is absolutely forging ahead everywhere. Everywhere, people are desperately getting to oil and gas reserves. And it may be that you're not aware of that. It may be that you don't care about it. But it is happening, and some massive reserves of fossil fuel have been hit. Now, we possibly have our own fossil fuel reserve off the northeast, off Mackled, the Kroger gas field. What's your thought on what we should do about possibly our own gas and the revenue associated with it?
Every Sunday afternoon here on Manx Radio at 4 o'clock, join myself, Simon Clark,
as Miss Phil Gorn,
live with Gullis Gagan. We clarify and translate some Isle of Man place names.
Rietna Sledge and Well, Riet is a view, and then ne slagen is the hills, but in the construction there it means of the hills, so Riet ne slagen, the view of the hills.
Plus we go through some of the Manx words and dialect.
Surely everyone knows Gael, don't they?
Mischief. That's Gullus Gagan live here on Manx Radio every Sunday afternoon at 4.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to hear from you today. Thanks for getting involved. And thanks also to 847. You're too late, I'm sorry. Andy, is the House of Keys not on AM today on 1368? It's finished already. I'm sorry about that. 847, you're a bit too late. We need to know the truth, says Dave. All the public really needs to know is how much will the wind farm cost from start to finish, including design, construction, maintenance and decommissioning? When will payback be achieved? And will...
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
Will this result in cheaper electricity? Will it be paid back before the average life of the turbines, which is approximately 15 years, says Dave? What we need are facts. Will this mean cheaper electricity? Laurie Hooper, leader of the Liberal Vanin Party, Minister for Health and Social Care, Ramsay MHK, Laurie Hooper said on Man in Line last year, this would all be solved if we offered people electricity at 8p per kilowatt hour. Suddenly, all the objections would fly out of the window. Because in the end, it all comes down to money. How much is it going to cost? And who's going to pay? Well, we know who's going to pay, don't we? We always know who's going to pay. Thanks to Ben Hartley on the phones today. Back open line tomorrow on Manx Radio.
WINT.